Yeah. Can you hear me? I feel like you can't hear me.
Hold on. I can't hear you anymore. What's up, nerds? It's basketball. Welcome to Horse, a basketball podcast about everything except for the wins and losses. My name is Mike Schubert, and I'm joined by my trusted co-host, the NBA on TNT existing to ESPN deciding that it should keep existing. It's Adam Amawala. Adam, how's it going?
It's going a lot better now that we've received that news. I feel like it would have been such a disservice to all NBA fans and really to the world as a whole. For that show to not continue. So I'm glad they were able to figure something out. I'm still a little confused as to how it's going to work, because my assumption was that even though they would all want to continue, they're also very loyal to the TNT family and their crew and all those people. Do you know anything about that?
My understanding, so for anyone out of the loop, we're referring to the fact that ESPN has done a licensing deal with TNT to basically keep the whole broadcast of NBA on TNT going. It's just going to run on ESPN. I think the whole thing is that they are basically like paying the whole crew to make the show. So I think it's like the entire same staff and everything. I don't know if it'll be branded with like TNT stuff on it, but I think it's basically a situation where it's the same like four dudes, the same crew, all that. They're getting paid to make the show. It's just basically, you know, ESPN paying all of them and TNT to be like, hello, can we keep doing the show?
That's awesome.
Use it as part of ESPN's coverage. So like truly the best case scenario.
Almost like when a bigger company acquires a smaller company and they're like, we love what you're doing. Keep doing it. It's just going to be a different name now.
Yeah. And I don't know the financials. Maybe it's something where it's like, you know, they're paying them to make the show and then ESPN gets all the ad money from commercials. Like, I'm not exactly sure finances wise how that all goes down, but
whatever the hell it is, I don't care. I'm just happy that it's going to be on TV.
Yes. And that has kind of, I think, been a spark for what we're doing for this episode, which is going to be a whole episode centered around NBA and WNBA thankfulness. But for us to get into that, let's prepare in the Teal Memorial Locker Room, which is a place to be very thankful for. I'm thankful that it exists.
Me too. And the cleaning products, Dr. Teal's, always on point.
I still have never actually used Dr. Teal's, I don't think. I feel like I need to. I've seen it at stores and stuff, but I don't think I've ever actually used them.
It does feel like a layup, pun intended, ad sponsorship. Even if they gave us like $1 an episode to sponsor the Teal Memorial Locker Room. We got to make that happen.
We should shoot an email. We should shoot them an email for sure. But you know who else gets lovely emails?
I would say our patrons, because when we post fun stuff on Patreon, they get an email saying, hey, there's fun stuff to check out. But a special shout out to our producer level patrons.
Yes, shout out to our producer level patrons, Polly Bird, Salvatore Testa, Siobhan Ellsbury, Don't Go Chasing Taco Falls, Bang, Bang, Roast Beef Debris, Denver Steam Nuggets, Anna Reed, Steph Curry lost to another Steph.
Yes, one in San Antonio. Ooh.
Hi, Trish, Chase Underulo, Nick and Rachel, Sidney Crosby is a vampire, Chelsea's cousin, Ginger Spursboy, Balls to the Walls, and Mats Furley.
Indeed. And is this a good time to maybe explain to the people what's happening with the Patreon?
Yes, we do have a bit of an update here with the Patreon stuff that's going on. So as we've mentioned in some past episodes, we are switching over to a monthly subscription billing as opposed to what it was in the past, which was you getting charged per episode and then it would run your card at the beginning of the month. But we are working with the Patreon team for that transition. It should happen during the month of December. We don't have an exact date yet, but I think during the month of December is when that switch will happen. And we will obviously be working with that team to make sure that you don't get double charged. What is going to happen, I believe, is that the current tiers are going to automatically be set to a multiplier to where basically they are going to, instead of being, say, $5 a month, would be $10 a month, just because that's the default of we're usually posting two things a month. But we are going to set up three new tiers that are more accurate for what we're doing going forward because we're switching some of the stuff. So there will be three new tiers called Bang, Double Bang, and Triple Bang. And those will be $5, $10, and $25 a month. And then that has kind of all the stuff that we've been doing with a couple of new things in there as well. But once we have those new tiers set up to where you can join them, we will post something on the Patreon, you'll get a notification, and then you can switch over to the new tiers. And then if you don't switch over to the new tiers, Patreon will automatically just have your tier be doubled, and then you'll still get access to some of the stuff. But if you want to make sure you don't lose access to anything at all, you can head on over and upgrade to the new tiers. We had a couple of people from the producer level tier ask, do I need to switch? We would love for you to switch to the new $25 a month tier, which will actually save you money instead of being $30 a month. But if you don't switch and you're still in the producer level tier, we'll still say your name. So, you know, we're not going to be like, ah, how dare you? But the goal is for everyone to switch over to the new tiers eventually. So once that's all up, we'll make another announcement, but that at least is the roadmap. It'll happen some point in the month of December. And you know what else is exciting and things that are coming down the line?
I mean, in some ways, I would say the sirens that are outside my window. But the better news is that we have a sponsor that you can talk about while I put myself on mute.
Amazing. We do have a sponsor. This episode is sponsored by Tab for a Cause. We're speaking of thankfulness on this episode. And what's cool about Tab for a Cause is that they sponsor us, but they also help the world. You go to tabforacause.org/horse, TABFORACAUSE.org/horse. You install it on your browser in just a couple of clicks. And then every time you open a tab, you help raise money for charity. You get a heart every time you open a tab. You can choose where those hearts get donated. That tells Tab for a Cause where you would like money to be sent. And then they send money to those organizations. They support a lot of great groups. They do timely things when certain things are going down, current events wise. And it's overall just a really smooth, nice thing to add to your browser that really, ever since I've added it, it doesn't feel noticeably different. Get cool, pretty pictures of the backgrounds every time you're opening a new tab. And you're also raising money for charity. What's not to love? So you go to tabforacause.org/horse to get that installed and start raising money for charity today. Now, unless you're listening on Patreon, where you get access to episodes without those inserted ads, it's time for inserted ads that help us make sure we're not in the red making this podcast. So we will take a quick break here. And once those ads are complete, we'll get back into this episode of Force. Unless you're a patron, then we're going to get right into this episode of Force. And we're back. Adam, what's going on in your world?
Thank you for asking. And also thank you for not doing a tab check. You know, it was a lot. We're recording this on a Monday morning, and I didn't want to start the week off by feeling bad about myself. Let it be known, though, that I probably have more tabs than you. That would be my educated guess. What do I have coming up? So no more Dane Cook shows. Hopefully I'll get to do more next year, but it was quite a ride. And we had some horse listeners show up, not even intentionally. So that was fun.
That
yeah. Coming up, though, on Thursday, December 5th, I will be in Erie, Pennsylvania. On Friday and Saturday, December 6th and 7th, I will be in Pittsburgh, PA. On New Year's Eve, I will be in Albany, New York at the Albany Funny Bone. And then, oh my gosh, it's 2025. In 2025, you can see me on Friday, January 10th at Theater at the Center in Munster, Indiana. On Sunday, January 12th at Zany's in Old Town. That's like in downtown Chicago. And then after that, you can see me in February over Valentine's Day weekend. I'll be at Dallas Comedy Club. The following weekend, I will be at a place called Comic Sense in Boulder, Colorado. And then more stuff getting added after that. But that's what I got for now. What about you, Mr. Schubert?
So I had a whole crop of live show ticket sales go live this past week, I guess last week at the time of recording this on Monday, November 25th. But we've got the shows to end 2024. So Vienna, Virginia, Dallas, and Austin on December 3rd, 15th, and 16th, respectively. And then things get kicking in 2025, beginning in February. I will be going to Hartford, Connecticut, Baltimore, Maryland, and Richmond, Virginia in February, Houston in March. And then I do a whole big run of Midwest shows in April. So St. Paul, Milwaukee, Des Moines, Chicago, Columbus, and Cleveland, all from April 10th through April 17th. And then in May, I've got two shows, Montreal on May 3rd and Buffalo on May 9th. So if you want to get tickets to all the shows, you can go to Shubes, SCHUB.ES/tour. And most of those shows are TNO, but the ones that are in new cities are TNO and Potterless. So that's the February 9th show in Baltimore, the February 23rd show in Richmond, Virginia, the April 13th show in Des Moines, the May 3rd Montreal, and the May 9th Buffalo show. Those are going to be half and half. The other ones are TNO. But I'm super stoked. I'm excited to go to the new cities. The state of Iowa seems mad hyped that I'm going to Des Moines. So that's cannot wait to go. I've been looking up stuff to do. There is a local, like, minor league hockey team called the Des Moines Buccaneers that play in like a 3,500 seat tiny arena that That's I really want to go to because I have an off day. Like, sounds super tempting.
It's where the AAA Cubs play.
Oh, okay.
The iCubs. Yeah.
I'll have to see if they have a game. I did check there's like something called like Des Moines sports calendar because I have like one off day on April 12th, which is Passover. It was an intentional like, let's not do a live show on Passover. But I think also because of that, there's like no NBA games. Like there's a lot of things not happening on that day.
Well, I will tell you, I don't know where it is in relation to Des Moines, but the Field of Dreams field is in Iowa. So that could be like a fun day trip.
All right. Yeah. Look, options.
And to the people of Des Moines who are listening right now, they do a lot of advertisements for Des Moines tourism during Cubs radio games. And their slogan is so funny. It's, in Des Moines, the S's are silent, but the city is buzzing.
Oh, God. I need to get a shirt that says that. Some folks recommended the store Ray Gun to me. It's like this goofy, like liberal left-leaning.
Not to be confused with the breakdancer from Australia.
No, not the bad breakdancer, who did retire. Rest in peace. She's still alive. But there's a store Ray Gun in Des Moines that sells like novelty shirts and stuff. And apparently one of them says, they sell them like a bunch of different things like mugs and floor mats and everything. It says Iowa, 75% vowels, 100% awesome. And I will that's be leaving good. The state with something that says that on it because that's really good.
Love it.
But anyway, enough talk of that. Let's talk of basketball. Let's get into Full Court Press. Get it? Like the news?
I do.
So we've got some good news coming, but I think we will also be talking about some of the news in our final segment of this episode, which is Adam and I talking about things that we are thankful for basketball-wise in our current basketball lives. But there is some stuff going down in the league that is interesting to all of us. Obviously, we have mentioned the return of NBA on TNT. Now, I guess being... I don't know what they're going to call it because it's, I guess it's just going to be still inside the NBA, but that's the top billing. It's going to come back. They've got the full crew and they've already been making jokes about it on the current broadcast. I had been watching every single episode because I was afraid this was going to be the last year. Now I can ease up on the gas a little bit, but I'm just so stoked the show's sticking around. It's going to be so fun.
I mean, it might be one of the first good decisions ESPN has made in 20 years.
Right. And I do feel bad for the people that had been on the halftime show, like Malika Andrews and some of the other folks. But I think the problem with that show versus what has worked for TNT is that that crew for the TNT show has been together for so long. Like it's been Kenny and Ernie since the very beginning, like 20 something years ago. That's the only reason why Kenny's still around, because I think Kenny sucks. But
you're not
then wrong. But the thing is, like, you need someone who sucks because Shaq and Chuck are at their best when they're making fun of someone. So, that's like, weirdly, it's perfect. But Kenny is, I don't know, he's frustrating. But, like, you kind of need him. Anyway, then Chuck has been around for a very long time. And then even Shaq has been on the show for, like, 10 years now or something. So they just have so much repertoire.
Kenny Smith is the Ringo of the Inside the NBA crew.
How dare you? Ringo's my favorite Beatle. I love Octopus's Garden.
Oh, my gosh. That is the hottest take you've ever had. I don't even have time to break that down right now.
I love Ringo. Am I biased because I'm a drummer? Yes, but I'm a big Ringo guy. Anyway, I think ESPN was at a bit of a disservice. The crew, like the people working on the show, because they kept changing stuff all of the time. But that's ESPN's fault for just not recognizing what they need to do. And you got to have like people consistently together. So I feel bad for those folks, but I'm happy for us in that we're going to continue to have the Inside the NBA guys halftime, and hopefully it's like everything exactly the same, like before the game, halftime, after, like hopefully it's all just a seamless transition. It just happens to be on ESPN instead of TNT, which also would be better for me because I have like the ESPN app on my TV and I'm logged into my dad's cable account with it and it works. And I have one that works for like DirecTV and that's what I've been using for the TNT stuff, but it's like really buggy and laggy. And the ESPN one is not. So for me personally, this would be a huge win if I can use the ESPN app on my TV instead of the DirecTV one, which sucks for live sports. Now, other stuff that's happening around the NBA, Russell Westbrook made NBA history by hitting his 200th career triple-double, which is wild and far above the previous leader, who's in like the mid 150s, which I think is still Oscar Robertson. But just 200 career triple doubles is wild. And what's also fun is they had him do the thing. It's paying homage to the Wilt Chamberlain thing where he wrote 100 on a piece of paper and then they took a picture of it when he scored 100 points in one game. But the thing about that, what's interesting is that photo goes hard like back in time because it was like a really old looking camera and you just kind of like had to scribble it together. But now when people do it, it just looks so dinky. Like when these players are right. holding up a thing with like a pen, and Russell had that where it's just like with a pen on an 8.5 by 11 piece of paper where he wrote 200, and some places posted it like the Nuggets in the NBA and it didn't look great. And then when Russell posted it to his own Instagram, I guess he was embarrassed by it. He superimposed like a text 200 over the very thin in pen written 200. And it was just this weird, goofy moment of, oh, okay, yeah, I guess he's doing the Wilt thing, but he didn't like how it looked. I guess the Wilt one looked like it was drawn with like a, I don't know, it's, it almost looks like a charcoal pencil, like it's thicker. And the problem with Russell's and some of these other ones people do is that it's just like a pen and right. it doesn't look as cool. So that was just a funny addition.
I think Wilt's was drawn by the first known Sharpie.
Yeah. I mean, if you look at him, it does kind of look like, I don't know. I don't know if you've ever had to draw with charcoal pencils in fourth grade for art projects like I had to. I don't know if that was a specific to me middle school thing.
By the way, I don't know if it does, but if that piece of paper exists, what would the value of that be?
Oh my God, so much.
At like a Sotheby's auction or
Gotta
something.
Gotta be so much, yeah, yeah, for sure. So that was a cool thing, and then a funny little thing that happened after. Now in the drama department, we had drama between my former beloved New York Knick Julius Randle and Rudy Gobert. Things are kind of burbling up a little bit in Minnesota, and not in a good way. There's been two kind of dramatic things happening recently. So first, there was this play where Julius Randle was dribbling the ball. Rudy Gobert was posting up a smaller defender in the paint area and calling for the ball like, hey, hey, you know, come on, give me the ball. I can score on this guy. Julius Randle did not pass him the ball. And then Rudy needed to clear the paint because there's a rule in the NBA called three in the key where you cannot be in the paint for more than 3 seconds without either leaving the paint or getting a pass or, you know, like at least a foot has to leave the paint. So when it became clear that Rudy Gobert was not going to get the ball, he sulked out of the paint, but he did it so slowly that it took him more than 3 seconds combined with the time he was already spending there. And his defender, I couldn't tell who it was, but his defender, you can hear him on the microphone of the rim yelling to the referee, 3 seconds, 4, 5, 6. And then when the ref finally calls it, he goes, yeah. And we'll have to put the link to this, the episode page on horsehoops.com. But it was just this clearly like pouty thing where Rudy was trying to make a statement about not getting the ball, knowing that this violation would be called, and then Anthony Edwards kind of yells at him down the court like, dude, what are you doing? And then you can't see what Rudy is saying, but Rudy clearly says something like, oh, he didn't pass me the ball, and then Ant makes some sort of very disappointed face like, man, come on, and then like starts yelling at him a little bit. And then later in that game, it was out of reach, but Julius Randle had the ball and then passed it to Rudy Gobert in the paint. Now, it wasn't the best of passes, but he did still pass it to him. And then Rudy bobbled the ball and turned the ball over, which is very funny of like, yeah, now you want the ball. So that all happened. And then apparently there's reports of Dante DiVincenzo not being happy of being used off the bench. That was part of the concern with the Knicks of why the Knicks traded him, is they were worried they weren't going to be able to give him a lot of playing time and he might get grumpy. Seems like he's been grumpy for his lack of playing time. He's also not playing super well to start the year. I mean, he's getting adjusted to the new team, but drama in Minnesota on multiple fronts.
Indeed. Now, over on the other side of things, the Cavaliers finally lost, but it took a long time. I believe they were 15-0 before they got handed their first loss in a pretty epic matchup with the Boston Celtics. Are you now ready, after a couple more weeks, to say that you are concerned about the Cavaliers, or do you still see them as not a threat in the playoffs?
I will say that I'm more concerned just because I think the key to their success has been the coaching of Kenny Atkinson. And I think in the playoffs, something that can really shine is a good coach versus a bad coach. Mm-hmm. So though I am not necessarily afraid of the roster that they have, I do feel like Kenny Atkinson is getting the most out of that roster, and I feel like he would be able to game plan well against a team. So I am more concerned. I still want to say that I'm not concerned so that I look cool months ago being like, nah, I'm not sweating them, but I would be lying. I am sweating them. And I will say, and we'll get into this for the thankfulness, I was sweating a certain team in the offseason. And now I have about 76 reasons not to sweat them. So taking the place of the sweating of that team might be the Cavaliers. And that's okay. I'm just kind of exchanging nervousness of one team for another.
Yeah.
So that I have the same level of stress.
As of this recording on Monday, November 25th, the Philadelphia 76ers are 3-13.
Not ideal.
Not
what you're looking for.
Not
what you're looking for. We don't talk about the wins and losses as much on the show, but when it correlates to drama, we do talk about it. Now, also to get on the other side of the equation, by that I mean women's basketball, the WNBA did have their draft, and this was a particularly important draft because this was basically the Paige Bueckers draft. She is most likely going to be the number one pick. There is, I don't think, any reason why she wouldn't be, even if there's like a weird situation where she gets a significant injury. I don't think she's like eligible to stick around another year like Caitlin Clark was able to, but people knew that she wasn't going to do. But regardless, this WNBA draft took place, and the winner of the WNBA draft was the Dallas Wings. So yeah, the top four picks went Dallas Wings, Los Angeles Sparks, Chicago Sky, and Washington Mystics. But really, you wanted to be the number one pick in this draft. The Wings got Paige Bueckers, presumably, and Arike Ogunbowale, who's on the Dallas Wings, tweeted something to the effect of, I just fell down on my knees and praised the Lord. I like to imagine she was in the middle of an HEB, a grocery store chain in Texas, just like on the ground in the cereal aisle, praising the Lord. But she finally gets some much needed help. Not that the Wings have a bad roster, but they needed a little bit of something. And now Arike has a proper running mate, much like Aaliyah Boston got Caitlin Clark. Aaliyah Boston won Rookie of the Year. Then they get Caitlin Clark. Now Ogunbowale, an incredible player, gets Paige Bueckers. And the Wings instantly look quite formidable. I think we're going to be seeing a very similar situation with the Fever, but even like a step further, because I think the Wings are much better than where the Fever were when they got Caitlin Clark. The Dallas Wings become instantly very scary in the WNBA. It's going to be fun.
Yeah, and just to be clear, obviously, the actual draft itself has not happened. What happened is the draft lottery, the order of who is going to pick in which place. And we can assume, much like we did last year, who the number one pick is going to be. This will take place. When is it again? Do you remember when the draft is?
I'll just Google it.
I think it's like right after the college season ends. So I want to say it's in like May or something like that.
Yeah, it's, I want to say
like
late April
or
early May.
Yeah.
Let's see, WNBA draft 2025 date. That is April 14th, 2025.
So there we go.
There we go. So it should be fun. And we'll see if there's any sort of drama with other picks, but I don't think that the number one pick is going to be dramatic at all. It will just be happy for the city of Dallas, the state of Texas,
awesome,
and the roster of the Dallas Wings. Now, with that complete, I think we can move over to what we're going to be doing to conclude our episode. So what we'll be doing is talking about things that are basketball related that we are thankful for currently. This episode's coming out close to Thanksgiving, which is a holiday that we celebrate in the United States. And I believe that there's also a Canadian Thanksgiving, but it has a slightly different date.
But I think is Boxing Day that, or is that something else?
That's their Christmas, I think. Let's see. Canadian Thanksgiving.
I should know. I was just in Canada yesterday.
Thanksgiving, Canada, French Jour de l'Action de Grâce, is an annual Canadian holiday held on the second Monday in October. Yeah,
okay.
So that's like a little different.
Well, happy belated.
Yeah.
Oh,
well,
sorry,
it's already passed. My goodness. Oopsie. Uh-oh. Sorry. Boxing Day is Thursday, December 26th. And it is a holiday celebrated after Christmas, occurring the second day of Christmastide. Oh, Boxing Day was once a day to donate gifts to those in need, but it has evolved to become part of Christmas festivities.
That's so funny that it's like it originated in philanthropy, but now it's just people buying each other things and not people.
It used to be cool and now it's corporate. The story of our world. But yeah, we're going to talk about...
Yes, but the whole idea with what we're doing here is that we're going to take turns listing off the basketball-related things that we are most thankful for over the past year. This is the Monday before Thanksgiving as we record this. When you're listening to it, it will be the Monday or Tuesday after Thanksgiving. So hopefully you had a wonderful Thanksgiving to those of you who celebrate, and being with your family was not awful, because sometimes it can be, especially after an election. We're going to try to put some positivity into the world and share some of the things for which we are most thankful. I don't even feel we need to do rock, paper, scissors. I'm gonna let you start. What's something that you're thankful for in the past year, basketball-wise?
Oh, I think we should all clap our hands, everybody, because I'm very thankful for the Philadelphia 76ers this season. I'm very thankful for them being bad, as someone who roots for the New York Knickerbockers. I'm very thankful for them being very dramatic, because there have been multiple times where we have recorded an episode of Horse, and then I have gone, we forgot to talk about this. And now we get to talk about them. Like, they keep giving us the opportunity to talk about them in future episodes and bring up old things. We didn't talk about how Joel Embiid shoved a reporter in the locker room. I think deservedly so, because this reporter made some article about Joel Embiid, like, not stepping up to the task, but made reference to Joel Embiid's brother, who did die, like, unexpectedly early and tragically. So it was this weird thing where he was trying to, like, compare it to his, like, he was talking about, like, Joel Embiid's, like, lack of motivation, and then brought his brother into the mix. And Joel rightfully had very much like a, hey, you can criticize me, but don't you ever talk about my family, especially my dead brother. And then apparently shoved him in the locker room. He got suspended for 3 games, which I mean,
you shouldn't put your hands on someone, but I could understand where he's coming from.
It's one of those, like, both of these people are in the wrong, but the NBA only employs Joel Embiid, so they can't necessarily suspend the other guy.
Right.
But, like, dick move on that dude's part. So that, of course, led to some drama. But then there's also just drama going around in Philly with the Joel Embiid situation because of what's happening on the court and stuff. Apparently, the players had a players-only meeting where Tyrese Maxey called out Joel Embiid for not necessarily leading with his actions. He said that one of the things that has been souring the vibes is that Joel is not necessarily leading by example. Apparently, he's late to stuff all the time. There were more, like, rumors that came out after this initial leak, which Joel Embiid is very upset about, trying to figure out, like, who leaked from the players' team-only meeting. And I don't know. But there was more stuff that came out. Like, it was one of the teams, I want to say it was Memphis Grizzlies. I think Chris Vernon was talking about this. He was saying that someone he knows who goes to, like, the hotels where the other players are and tries to get autographs and stuff, which, like, feels gross. But apparently this guy had knowledge of when the team was leaving for the arena and stuff. Apparently there's 2 buses, one that leaves, I think, like... Let me try to look this up real quick.
There's usually, like, an early bus and a late bus. The same thing in baseball reference. Like, some people want to get there early and do all their stretches and take batting practice and, like, get off the field. And other people are like, I want to get there at the exact moment I'm contractually obligated to be there, which might maybe be more like Embiid in this case.
Mm-hmm. So here's what Chris Vernon said about it. He says, team buses leave the hotel at 5 o'clock to the FedEx Forum, where the Grizzlies play, and then there's a second bus that leaves at 5:15. The majority of the road team is always on the first bus. The guy said, Embiid did not leave that hotel until 5:55, and I was like, what? The game is at 7.
Yeah, he played that night, right?
I believe so.
Yeah, that's weird.
Even if he's injured on the sideline, like, you should be there earlier. Like, you should be there to support the team.
Yeah, man, lead by example.
Right. So apparently Tyrese called him out for that. Tyrese Maxey seeming like a good guy forever. And that happened. There's a team meeting there, and the fans are getting upset. They're booing the team. As you mentioned, they're not doing well record-wise. Paul George got injured in a game. They got blown out, and then he's continuing to record episodes of Podcast P, and he's talking about the players-only meeting on Podcast P, which feels like it's defeating the purpose of the players-only meeting.
Right.
So vibes aren't super good. I will end this just to throw a bit of a bone to the Philly fans out there that at least they do have the positivity of their rookie who is looking like he might win rookie of the year, Jared McCain.
I was just going to say, yelled it after nailing a three. I'm rookie of the year.
Which is very cool.
Yeah.
And then there's this fun video where he and Tyrese Maxey were doing the press post-game stuff afterwards, and they were getting grilled by the Philly media. Tyrese Maxey handling it very well, and Jared McCain not handling it very well. Because he just doesn't have that experience yet.
Yeah.
And they're asking him like, oh, did you yell rookie of the year? And Jared McCain's trying to be like, oh, you know, I love my other rookies in the NBA and I respect them, but also like I'm very self-confident. And on the flip side, they asked Tyrese Maxey, like, do you think you guys can dispel the rumor that two small guards can work together on a team? And Tyrese responded with, who said we're small? Like, so clearly a seasoned Philly person responding to Philly reporters.
No, I actually thought that McCain's response was good because he did the thing where he was like, yeah, you know, in the heat of the moment I said that, and like obviously I'm very confident, but I, you know, I'm not like diminishing what any other rookies are doing.
Right. He just started it with going, I don't remember. I was in a fugue state. What did I say?
Yeah,
like, dude, you know what you said.
Yeah, yeah.
So I think he needs a bit of that comfort, but he's playing well and the vibes are great.
He's been great. And I also like that he's someone who has gotten a lot of shit on social media because like he paints his nails sometimes and like does fun TikTok dances and everyone's like, you are gay. It's like, and you know, maybe, I don't know. I think he's just
so
Gen
what?
Z. Like exactly. Who cares, first of all, but yeah,
right.
He's been great.
Nah, he's been good. So I am thankful for the 76ers not being good at basketball because I was worried in the offseason. They made a lot of good signings. I was legitimately scared of the 76ers. That's why I didn't pick them number two in the drama draft. I thought they were just going to be good at basketball and that winning would solve the drama, but winning has not happened and thus drama.
Yeah. All right. I think the singular basketball moment for which I am most thankful over the past year was when my girlfriend Celia bought us tickets for an early birthday present to go along with my Jordan cleats, of course, to see Caitlin Clark and Angel Reese square off in the Elite Eight in Albany. This was on April 1st. Caitlin Clark came out of the gate, just immediately drilled like a 28-footer. She ended up with 41 points and 12 assists. Angel Reese had kind of a bad shooting day, but put up 17 points and 20 rebounds before fouling out. And it was awesome. Like the entire experience, just the electricity of that. It was like being at a concert where like just the vibes, like as you walk up to the stadium, everyone's like so amped up. And even the Albany Parking Authority were like, people are excited. It is now $50 to park in Albany. Welcome to our fine city. but the game at the time, and I don't know if this has changed since then, was the most highly viewed women's college basketball game ever. 12.3 million people watch that game, and we got to be two of the people there in person, which was pretty awesome. Caitlin Clark got her revenge from the previous year's finals loss, but yeah, just a truly unbelievable experience. And I hope that them not being in college hoops doesn't like negatively impact how much people care about it. I feel like there's still a lot of
there
fun
will still be
lines.
The page hype. I think people
yeah,
are gonna
and Juju
watch.
Watkins,
and then Juju
yeah.
yeah. I think what's nice with women's college basketball is it feels like every year there's another like, oh, whoa, this person, like
right.
everyone was freaking out about the Caitlin Clark draft. Now everyone's freaking out about the Paige Beckers draft.
Mm-hmm.
And then everyone will be freaking out about the Juju draft. Like it's going to be totally fine.
Yeah.
So yeah, I hope that energy sticks and continues to translate into the WNBA because clearly that league had a growth in viewership this past season, and hopefully that continues because the W is so good. The only downside is now tickets are expensive, and gosh, I loved
right.
being able to pay pennies for WNBA tickets, but it is for the greater good that the sport and the league is growing.
For sure. What's next on your list?
As a bit of a contrast to my first selection, I am so thankful that the New York Knickerbockers not only are good at basketball, but that the vibes are good as well.
Mm-hmm.
It's just so nice to have a good vibe roster that is also good at basketball, because even when you get off to a slow-ish start like the Knicks have this year, it's just you see that things are going to be okay because we're good and the team is good. And I'm just so excited with the Knicks roster because it's just full of really good eggs and it's just nice to root for them. So like straight off the bat, we've got Jalen Brunson. What is not to love? People doubted him. People didn't think he was worth the contract that he signed. Now he ended up outplaying that contract so significantly that when he signed the max extension, everyone was like, oh, underpay. He should have held out for more money. Like, he's clearly revitalized his entire reputation, and he's become the heart of the city, the captain of the team. He's so good at basketball. So that's great. Then you've got Josh Hart, his co-host of his podcast, just being a complete goofball, but also a complete menace on the court. He has so many fun moments. He's great on social media. He's great on the podcast. He's great on the court. Like, he has so many wonderful things going for him. Just such a fun dude to root for.
Yeah.
Got OG Anunoby, who is so interesting as this NBA introvert. There's this like clip going around of just like, this is what happens when an introvert is in the NBA. And it's just a supercut of all these goofy things OG Anunoby has been doing as an NBA player his whole career. I've really liked this dude his whole career. And for him to finally be on the Knicks makes me really, really, really happy, because he's so silly and good at basketball, but also just like incredible vibes wise and brings such a different energy in terms of good vibes to the Knicks, as opposed to Josh Hart, like super extrovert, super goofy, super silly. You have OG Anunoby, like, just being very deadpan in interviews and, you know, just a completely different vibe. Then you bring in Mikal Bridges, mm-hmm. who's already friends with Jalen and Josh, and he's fun and he's goofy. He's hitting funky celebrations after he makes different baskets. He had his weird thing in the beginning of the year where he was like trying to revamp his shot and it was really bad. Now he's making his shot again, so that's going well. You've got Deuce McBride, who I just love as a player and also as a person, because they had that viral clip where he was mic'd up and he was telling our new center, who I'm also thankful for, Ariel Hukporti, he was telling him like, yo, when you get in for garbage time, you got to make the most of it. This is cool. How I got to the point where I am today. And then Huck is getting some legit minutes now, so you've got cool veteran leadership from him. And then Karl Anthony Towns has been good. People mm-hmm. were worried about this trade. People were thinking, oh, I don't know. Seems like the Timberwolves might have gotten the better deal out of it. Is Cat going to work? Blah, blah, blah. He's been electric. The defense still needs some work, but offensively, just absolutely been dominating. He's putting up wild numbers. He's making tons of shots. He's, you know, on pace to set all sorts of records and stuff. And then also just like vibes wise, I think he's from New Jersey. So he's like from the New York area. He grew up, you know, going to Knicks games, and he's familiar with being in the city and all that. So the vibes are just really good with the Knicks, and you can tell because we're off to like not a super hot start. We have expectations, but everyone's like, yeah, we see what's there.
Right.
We see what's there basketball.
Also, the East has been trash. So the Knicks are 9-7 and they're like fourth, I think.
Yeah. So I think it's going to be okay. But it just overall, we've just got great vibes. Even down the roster, like our rookie Pacome Dadier, this French dude, like he's fun. There's just good vibes all around the roster. And it just makes me so happy, because for most of my life, we've been bad at basketball and bad at vibes.
Right.
And we just seem to have good vibes all over the place. Obviously, our owner is a terrible person. But
sure,
that aside, seems like the vibes are really good.
Yeah, and just to piggyback off of that, I would say that the vibes are so good in New York that I, a lifelong Bulls fan, have found myself rooting for that team, not only like out of solidarity with you and some of my other Knicks fan friends, but because they're just like a genuinely easy team to root for. And one of my things on my gratitude list, believe it or not, is actually that I got to watch the infamous DiVincenzo game live at a sports bar in New York, yes, in Washington Heights. I'm like, that, in terms of basketball that I've watched live, not actually being there, it's one of the more fun memories that I have of just
for
a
sure
place going absolutely bonkers, and rightfully so. This was, of course, the game where the Knicks looked all but finished. They were down, what, 6 points with like 40 seconds left or something crazy like that?
It was, I think,
like,
down five.
Yeah.
I think down five, and the Philly broadcaster started talking about traffic on the way home.
Oh,
that's how much
yeah
they thought it was in
yep
the bag.
Yep, yep. But I guess to go the other direction, while I would be lying if I were to say that I was thankful for the Bulls, I am thankful that they finally have at least done something in terms of like trading some of their assets, because for years it was like, no, we're just going to stick with the same roster of people who are going to win exactly 40 games a year, and we're not going to change anything. And they're still languishing in mediocrity, but they traded Caruso, which they should have done earlier. Josh Giddey's been pretty good. Caruso has been not so great in Oklahoma City. Part of it is the minutes. Part of it, I think, is just his age. So at the moment, it looks like the Bulls got the better end of that trade. And then the sign and trade with DeRozan, obviously hard to lose a guy like DeMar DeRozan, but I'm like genuinely happy for him that he doesn't have to deal with the literal bullshit going on in Chicago. He's not getting any younger. Obviously, he's already kind of been through it in his career where he got traded from the Toronto Raptors. He was like the guy there, gets traded. They win the championship without him. So like he's one of those people where if the Kings ever did go on a run or he won with some other team, I would just be so happy for him because he's a really quality person and I feel like he deserves it. So, you know, at this point, I would say that I have what I consider to be a healthy relationship with a toxic team in the Chicago Bulls, which is that other than the first game of the season, I don't think I have watched a full game, but I do still have the NBA League Pass subscription, which should also sponsor us. No free ads. But they have this wonderful thing called All Possessions where you can just watch the next day. And it's like a 35-minute condensed version where you still see every single play, but you don't have to watch any of the other nonsense. So like that is my relationship with the Bulls. I don't even check the score the night of the game. And the next morning I watch the recap and I see how I feel. And it's going to be okay.
That's good. I'm glad you found this without needing a Bulls support group.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, the Bulls Anonymous.
No, I still do. So if anybody knows of one, just let me know.
Meet in the basement of the local YMCA. Talk about our feelings towards Garpax. Yeah.
And someone dressed as a Benny the Bull mascot will be selling weed there. So that'll
of
help.
Course. Yeah. Of course. I am thankful for the WNBA stars dealing with the increased viewership and all the other mess that comes with that very well. I think there was obviously some weird drama stuff where people are trying to pit Caitlin Clark and Angel Reese against each other, more so than just as basketball players.
Right.
People are being weird about the women in the league and in various ways, whether that be what they're doing on the court, what they're doing off the court, what they're wearing, like any sort of normal bullshit commentary that comes along with just being a woman and existing.
Right.
And I think that there was a lot of stuff thrown their way. And I think when I'm looking back on this past season, I can't think of a situation aside from like Kennedy Carter getting a couple of texts against Caitlin Clark and flagrant fouls. Like aside from that, there wasn't really any drama like actually with the players. Like we didn't have Angel Reese and Caitlin Clark like actually saying mean things about each other. We didn't have people taking shots and anything like that. It felt like all of the drama was either manufactured from the outside or like instigated but didn't actually become realized. It feels like the stars all understood what was going to happen. They all really got a sense of what was going to come along with the increased viewership, and they weathered the storm quite well. People like Asia Wilson and Brianna Stewart just didn't really seem to be bothered by it. Like it just kind of seemed like a business as usual type thing. They didn't seem rattled by any sort of increased noise on Twitter, noise in the crowd, noise in the media. They seem to be handling their business well. And I think that was huge. Just the season went along. It felt to me like someone who's been watching the league for a couple of years now, like a normal year. It was just that there was all this other stuff of like, why is Stephen A. Smith yelling at people now? So it didn't seem
That's
like the actual It didn't seem like the actual basketball and, you know, the people playing the league didn't seem like that was noticeably different, which I think is good. Like, we didn't want that to change. We just wanted more people to be watching. So I'm appreciative towards the stars for really holding it down and making it continue to be fun to watch and not messy or weird or anything like that.
Yeah, absolutely. And I guess to jump off of that, I would say that I'm thankful that I didn't get punched in the face when I told a drunk guy to shut the fuck up when he was talking shit about the Liberty game. But
Go on.
No, just in general, like, yes, there are still interactions like that, and you still have to deal with meatheads, like, being weirdly threatened by the fact that people like the WNBA. But when I think about this past year, like, I have certainly watched more WNBA than I ever had before, and I'm the first to admit that, like, I was also late to the party along with a lot of other people. But it's been cool to be out at sports bars or wherever, and rather than see that kind of interaction, which you used to see all the time, now you'll be... I shared this story at some point earlier in the year. We were watching a Fever Sky game at this bar in Hoboken, and some guy who, like, I think genuinely was a construction worker and was, like, exactly who you would think would have some, like, ignorant view about something, just started talking to us about Kennedy Carter and about the whole, like, it was very unexpected and awesome. And it's just cool to see the league getting their flowers, because the whole thing about it is, like, there was all this extra exposure this year thanks to Caitlin Clark, and it really comes down to, like, if a league or if a person is, like, ready to meet the moment. And the WNBA has been good for a while, and now it's like they're ready for this exposure and are capitalizing off of it. So a couple of things on my list: going to a WNBA game with my mom. Shout out to Deb, who I know is listening at some point in the future. That was super fun to get to go to a game. I got to go to the semifinals of Liberty versus Aces, which was like an electric environment. I'm super grateful for that. And it's been a really, really cool year, and there's no reason to believe that it's not going to continue trending in an upward direction. And I'm with you. Like, there's a part of me that's like, oh, I wish tickets were still $8, but it's objectively a good thing that it's not anymore.
And I'll have to see what the Liberty prices are now, but it's still, like, not that bad. I was in talks with the season ticket people, and I could get, like, a 5-ticket deal where each ticket was, like, $50. Like, you can still, and it was, like, lower bowl tickets. So, like, I think they still are okay if you're avoiding, like, secondhand market kind of stuff. So I think it can still be okay.
Right.
So another basketball thing, a little change of pace that I'm very thankful for. Now, with what has happened with ESPN keeping the TNT show going, with Inside the NBA continuing on, I can now say that I'm thankful for how the TV deal shook out, because since NBC won basically what was TNT's role in the broadcasting rights, there's going to be more NBA games on NBC, meaning we should get the return of Round Ball Rock. We should get the return of the greatest song in the universe. It's been my ringtone on my phone for, I think, over a decade. And I am just thankful that now I don't have to view this as a silver lining. Now it's like, okay, cool. We'll get Round Ball Rock. We still get Inside the NBA. I don't have to be sad about it anymore.
I do just feel like it would make more sense with the original lyrics, though.
The basketball. I hope they just use the same recording. I don't want them to re-record it. Give me the same one. I'm afraid if they re-record it, it won't hit as hard. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe the remastered version will be cool and stuff. But, like, just give me the juice, and I'm just stoked that we'll get that back. It's such a good song, and if it continues to exist in our lives, just make me really happy.
Yeah. No, that would absolutely be a blessing. It would be too much of an inside joke, but it'd be very funny if they got Tim Robinson to do some of the promos where, like, he starts singing it and they're like, no, we're good. We're just
they should do that. Yeah. Like, if they are smart, they will do that. Like, why not? That would be very, very funny to pay homage to that SNL skit. Do it. Why wouldn't they?
Absolutely. Another thing I'm thankful for: hooping in South Korea. Who would have thought?
Yeah, fun.
It was very fun, and it was very unexpected. Like, I never would have assumed that I would have access to that. I guess, apparently, every military base has, like, a really nice basketball court. But that became, like, this running theme of that trip, where myself and the other comedian that I was with, he also is a good basketball player. So that was, like, a bonding thing for us, where, like, every base we went to, we would go shoot around and play some basketball. And it was also just, like, a real reminder of how global the game is. Like, yes, obviously these are American people on military bases, but everywhere you go all over the world, whether it was India last year or South Korea this year, like, seeing basketball hoops everywhere, seeing people, like, getting excited about it, and seeing, like, walking around in some small town in South Korea and seeing an NBA jersey, I just always think that's so cool.
Yeah. No, I mean, look, the courts look pretty sweet, and I'm glad that you got to hoop in a bunch of them. I miss being able to hoop in, like, a nice, nice gym. It's been quite a while. So
yeah,
the fact that
it's the best,
you got to do that, is pretty freaking sweet. All right. I think we're about to wrap it up here. So I will say my final thing: I'm thankful we're still doing this podcast, man.
Yeah.
It's always fun to have an excuse to talk to you in general, but also specifically about basketball. And it's just a fun time. And the listeners are always really cool. It's a fun community. And it's a fun little process to continue to make the show and get to chat with you and chat about the thing that we're both so obsessed with.
I totally agree. It's crazy to think that it's been part of now 5 years. Like, we started this in 2020 doing this together. Obviously, the podcast existed before I was part of it, but yeah.
But did it?
You know, many have speculated whether or not it did, and I'm on the team that it did not. So, think about it. I think when I joined on, I was like the 50-somethingth episode.
Yeah,
so
it's something like that. It was like 56, you know, 54, something.
Two-thirds or three-quarters of the episodes now are ones that involve me. It's been awesome to meet some of you horse listeners as I've been out traveling the country and doing some stuff on the road. Everybody's always incredibly nice, which is not surprising whatsoever. I feel like your fan base tends to be like exceedingly lovely people. But yeah, it's awesome. It's like, I feel like it has only made our friendship grow. And it's also just fun to like have a reason to chat every couple of weeks and enjoy basketball. And I give you credit for being a big part of the reason that, like, when the WNBA took off, I didn't feel like an idiot who didn't know anything about it, because thanks to your fandom, I was like, all right, I know what's going on here. I know these people.
Ayo, great. Amazing. Well, what a perfect note to end, being thankful for each other and this podcast. And we're thankful, obviously, to all of you for listening, because if you didn't listen, we wouldn't make the show, because then Adam and I could just talk to each other and not do all the extra work that makes the podcast a podcast.
Yeah, but you know what? We wouldn't be the only two straight males doing a podcast that no one listens to.
I'm glad.
But I'm glad we're not.
I'm so glad that we're not that. Thanks for listening to this episode of War Sources, hosted by Adam Amawala and Mike Schuber. Our editor is Kensi Suramaki. The music is by Bettina Kampomanis. The art's by Allison Wakeman. The website's by Kelly Schuber. And the social media's by both of the Horse Boys.
Thank you to our producer-level patrons, Polly Burge, Salvatore Testa, Siobhan Ellsbury, Don't Go Chasing Taco Falls, Bang Bang, Roast Beef Debris, Denver Steam Nuggets, Anna Reed, Steph Curry Lost to Another Steph.
Boom, baby! Different.
Hi, Trish. Chase Underulo, Naked Rachel, Sidney Crosby is a Vampire, Chelsea's Cousin, Ginger Spurs Boy, Balls to the Walls, and the Mats Furli. You can follow us on Instagram and Facebook at Horse Hoops, and on Twitter at Horse_Hoops, because
Horse Hoops was the mole in the Sixers locker room leaked that the meeting happened and Joel Embiid got them taken out.
I feel like pretty soon we're going to have to switch to, you can follow us at Horse_Hoops on Blue Sky, because Elon Musk is an asshole.
Yeah, we should set up a Blue Sky show. Probably should. It's not that hard.
I just don't want another thing personally, but we can for Horse.
Yeah, but look, we'll see
how it goes. But in the meantime, you can go to our website, horsehoops.com, for links to some of the many things that we talked about today, including a very funny NBA on TNT segment where they did the trend of like, suspect is blah, 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 blah.
Ernie's were so brutal.
Yeah, just roasting everybody. Good. It was great.
Absolute roast. Fantastic stuff. And if you want to support the Horse Boys, you can go to patreon.com/horsehoops. Get access to all a bunch of fun, cool stuff. You can go to the horsehoops.com/merch to get stuff, nerd shirts and other digital items as well. But we're going to conclude this episode by saying something on the count of three. I think we said thanks the last time. Yeah, so we're going to have to probably say something. Yeah, we've got to say something different. Yeah, we can't just say the same thing twice in a row.
Well, we can say you're welcome for providing this important service that we have every 2 weeks.
It's a good pairing with the last one, so there we'll say you're welcome on the count of three.
All right.
1, 2, 3.
You're welcome. Yeah, it's noble work that we do, but somebody has to do it.
It's a tough job, but someone's got to talk about basketball.